Parashas Noach. The parasha in the beginning discusses the Teva and the command to Noach. Asei lecha, make for yourself Tevas atzei gopher, an ark of gopher wood. Kinim taaseh as a Teva, make the ark into compartments. The Rabbeinu Shalom tells Noach that he's going to destroy the world due to the horrific corruption of the people. Rashi tells us the animals as well. The Rabbeinu Shalom commands Noach to build a teva in order to save Noach and his family. Rashi wants to know, the Rabbeinu Shalom certainly could have saved Noach in many ways. Infinite ways the Rabbeinu Shalom could have saved Noach. Any way in the world. Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom burden Noach with having to build a teva for 120 years? Why couldn't he save him in a different manner? And for Rashi, the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted the generation to see that Noach was busy building a teva for 120 years. They would go by Noach and say, "Hey Noach, what are you doing?" And Noach would say, "I'm building a teva." And they would say, "Why are you building a teva?" And Noach would respond to them that the Rabbeinu Shalom is bringing a flood upon the world. Do tshuva. Perhaps by their seeing and hearing Noach, they would do tshuva. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi is explaining why it was necessary for Noach to build a teva, in order to give the people of generation an opportunity, a sign, a little bit more of a something that they can see tangible, or more of a warning, not just that, oh, all of a sudden there's a mabul, but rather a warning. This is a way of giving them teichacha, that they should do tshuva. However, Rashi doesn't explain, but why 120 years? Why couldn't he do it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? I don't know how many years, but why 120 years? That is a very, very long time to build a teva, and he gave the goyim of the world had 120 years to potentially do tshuva. But why 120? It says in the Pnei David, Eile toldos Noach. Noach, ish tzadik tamim haya b'dayosav. What does the pasuk mean that these are the offspring of Noach? Eile toldos Noach, Noach. It says in the Medrash Shoicher Toiv, Avram Avinu asked Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek was Shem, who was Noach's son. In what zechus was he and his father Noach zeicha to leave the teva alive? Malki Tzedek answered Avram that it was in the zechus of tzedaka. Avram asked, how could he have performed tzedaka? How do you perform tzedaka on the teva? There are no poor people. There was Noach and his family. They all had food. Where were the aniyim? Where was the tzedaka occurring? Who needed tzedaka? Malki Tzedek answered him that it was the zechus of the tzedaka that he performed for the animals. He gave the animals from his own things. He gave them tzedaka. That's the tzedaka. Wow! Avraham Avinu said, unbelievable! He deduced from this that if Malki Tzedek and his father and the Noach Mishpachas Noach was saved from the mabul because of his act of kindness of tzedakah to animals, certainly, and much more so, one must act accordingly to people with giving tzedakah. And Chesed, immediately Avraham Avinu went and made a place for people to eat, drink, and sleep. Noach had a great schus because Avraham Avinu learned from his righteous deeds, as we state in the Pnei David from the Chidor. This is what the pasuk means for these are the offspring of Noach. What does it mean? Eila told us Noach. These are the offspring of Noach. Noach. A person's action can have far-reaching ramifications. Noach receives credit for Avram's positive actions that came about because of him. Eila told us Noach. Noach. The toldus of Noach on Noach. His actions had also dividends. They also, Cain, had children. Eila told us Noach. These are the offspring, the ramifications, further. A person does a mitzvah, a person does an action, it can have effects on many, many generations later, and it gets chusim for all of them. It says in the Chassam Sefer, he quotes the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Gimel, that Rachel asked Yaakov, how are you permitted to deceive Lavan? Yaakov Avinu replied that it is permitted to deceive a crooked person. Lavan is crooked and is permitted to deceive him. As it says in the Shmuel, that with the pure one should be pure, but with the crooked he should be deceitful. Noach lived in a completely corrupt society. The pasuk says that Noach acted righteous and pure. If Noach acted righteous and pure, why didn't Noach act in the manner to deceive the crooked? There were crooked people. He should have also. The thing is, he acted righteous and pure. Although his whole generation was crooked, Noach acted righteous and pure. Why didn't he also act crooked? When you're dealing with crooked people, you have to be crooked. Shaitan the Rambam. He writes a letter that one should only act deceitful with the crooked on an irregular basis. A one-time deal, Yaakov had to do it with Lavan. But don't become accustomed. However, if one is around crooked people all the time, he should not act deceitful, because if he does, it will become part of his character traits. Being that Noach lived amongst people who were crooked and depraved, he had to stay pure at all times so that he would remain pure. As I stated in the Chassam Sefer, unbelievable. So there's a concept. He says, "Oh well, we learned from Yaakov Avinu, from the Avos HaKadoshim, that you should be crooked. I deal with a crooked person, I'm going to deal crookedly." He says, "No, there is a time and place. Yaakov had to do it with Lavan, but you have to be very, very careful with this, because if a person and he deals with deceitfulness, he becomes deceitful himself, even if he's dealing crooked with someone who's crooked, because he has to." But it will eventually become part of his midos and his character traits. So Noach lived in a world that was complete corruption. Completely corrupt. If he would have said, "Oh, well, I also have to act deceitfully, but even though I'm righteous, I have to act deceitfully," he would have become part of them. He had to stay completely righteous and pure. Eile told us Noach, he was a tzaddik tamim. It says in the Chain Tov, why does the Torah tell us of the children of Noach, when we already know this? It was stated in the end of Bereshis that Noach had three children. So why are we repeating it here? Why do we have to know that again? We already learned this in the end of Bereshis. It says in the Medrash, Bereshis Rabbah, that Noach was saved from the Mabul because Moshe Rabbeinu would ultimately come from him. That's why he was zeicha to be saved. It says in Bereshis, Kapitel Vav Pasuk Gimel, B'shagam hu basar v'ayuyam av meya v'esim shana. B'shagam, the gematria of B'shagam is equivalent to Moshe. Is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu who lived for 120 years. The Ibn Ezra explains that the human lifespan was gradually decreased from what it was at that time until it would be a maximum of 120 years. We know in Parshas Bereishis, when we were listening to the Parsha Lane last week, how many years people lived, many, many more years than 120. Not just Adam Harishon as an individual, as a one-time person, but many, many people lived many, many years, many more than 120. It's at the time, it slowly went down and became the maximum became 120, as they say in the Ibn Ezra. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Mabul was called Mei Noach, the waters of Noach, because Noach did not daven for his generation to be saved. Moshe Rabbeinu did daven for his generation, and it was in the schus of the future generation that would come from Noach which caused him to be saved from the marble. So the schus of Noach living, he didn't daven for a generation. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Klal Yisrael. They did a chatoim, the Baruch Shem didn't want to get rid of them, and he davened for them. It was the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu that Noach was saved. It says in the Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Oisem Rishonim B'schus HaChreinim. From where do we know this concept that Hakadosh Baruch Hu deals with people according to the schusim of future generations? Like we just said, Noach, entered the Medrash, V'Noach Matzalchem Bein Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. It was the schus of the future generations and that Noach was eicher to live, like it says in this Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oisim Rishonim, he does with the earlier ones, B'schus HaAchronim, in the schus of the later ones. Even as it says, that the Gematria of Noach is 58. Zakta Ibn Ezra. Avraham Avinu was 58 years old when Noach died. The Pasuk is telling us that this is the legacy of Noach. During 58 years of Noach's life, there was a tzaddik named Avraham Avinu. It was in the schus of this tzaddik, Avraham Avinu, the 58th Noach. He was zeicher to the 58 years of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was alive during his generation. That was his whole schus, that Noach walked with Hashem. Shit Nezer HaKodesh. The gematria of Mabul is the same as Chazdoi, his chesed. It was a great chesed of the Rebbein Shalom to bring the Mabul upon the world. It was the chesed. We think, oh, Mabul, terrible catastrophe, yeah. But it was the chesed. Had there not been a Mabul, and the wicked people of the generation had not been destroyed, there would not have been the holy nation, Klal Yisrael. Had there been such tumor in the world as there was before the marble, Avraham would not have been able to achieve to the great level of Kedusha which he attained. It says in the Be'ach Moshe, he quotes a Medrash, in Bereishis Rabba, Lamed, quoting a Pasuk in Mishlei, in Kapitel Yud, Pasuk Chafei, Ka'avor Sefer Ben Rosh of a Tzadik Yisrael Olam. When the storm passes, a wicked one is no more, but a tzaddik yisoid oilam is the foundation of the world. The wicked here, the Rasha, refers to the generation of the Mabul, and the tzaddik refers to Noach. Ubei tzaddikim yamoid, and the house of the tzaddikim he keeps standing, refers to Noach. When Noach saw the destruction of the Mabul, he began to worry and regret not davening for the generation. However, when Noach came to the end of his life, and he saw the great tzaddik Avraham Avinu, the pillar of chesed, he realized, Noach himself came to the recognition, that it was necessary that the tumah of the world be destroyed in order for the kedusha to emerge. The Medrash is telling us that after the world was destroyed, Noach realized that his initial thoughts were accurate. It is because of the tzaddik Noach that the house of tzaddikim of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was able to stand. It says in the Tzor Hamor, Kapitel Vav, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivo Yisraelikim kein asa. Noach followed the command of the Rebbein Yisrael implicitly, without question. He did exactly what the Rebbein Yisrael commanded him to. That's why he's a double Lashon, explains the Tzor Hamor. Now we can understand why Noach needed to build the Tavor specifically for 120 years. Rashi told us that he had to build a Tavor so that his generation would see and perhaps they would come to do tshuva. There would be nesarer to tshuva. But why 120? 120 years. The world had fallen to the lowest depths of moral depravity. The world needed to be destroyed in order to pave the way for Kedusha to enter the world. That's what was necessary. Noach was a tzaddik. He wants nothing more than to follow the Ratzon Hashem. Perhaps Noach did not daven and save his generation because he was not on a high enough level of Kedusha. Perhaps he wasn't on a great Madrega. We know the Machlokes, whether he was in Avram's generation, he would have been a bigger Tzaddik, not a Tzaddik at all. But he lived in a level of corruption, a world of complete corruption. And maybe it wasn't his fault. Perhaps, maybe Noach didn't daven, and he wasn't on the Madrega. He wasn't as great as Avraham Avinu. It was the schus of the future generations, Achroinim, the Ovis Akdoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Noach was saved. Perhaps we can understand and say, Noach built the Teva for 120 years as a remes to Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived for 120 years. It would be Moshe Rabbeinu who would be able to save Klal Yisrael by davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom on their behalf. Noach didn't daven for his generation. Noach spent 120 arduous years building the Teva, and he hoped that the generation would do tshuva. The Torah testifies, Noach ish tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik. His sole purpose was to fulfill the will of Hashem. While each individual may not be able to save his generation, we have to always realize what we can attain, and we have to strive to make our sole purpose in this world, like Noach did, to follow the Ratzon Hashem. So there was 120 years was the Noach should know, it was a remez to the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, that it was in Moshe Rabbeinu's chus that Noach got to live. Moshe Rabbeinu completed the job. Noach did not daven for his generation. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for his generation and was matzliach and saved Klal Yisrael. It says in the Pasuk, close to the end of the parasha, Vayayimu, Kapitel Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. Vayayimu, Havoy, Nevne, Lonu, Yer, Umigdal, Vereish, Bashamayim, Venasa, Lonu, Shom, Penophas, Alpnei, Kalaret. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower with its tops to the Shemayim. And let us make a name for ourselves. Nasa lanu shame. Let us make a name for ourselves. Lest we be dispersed across the entire earth. The Torah tells us that Dor HaPlaga all spoke one language and were of common purpose. Rashi says, Pen Nofutz. They wanted to be up in the heavens so that he would not be able to bring a makkah, a plague upon them, which would scatter them. They figured they'd outsmart the Ribbono Shel Olam, and if they were up there with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't hurt them. They believed they would be in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused their language, so they should not understand one another's language. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, V'nasa lanu shem? And let us make a name for ourselves. What does that mean? They want to make a name for themselves? What? What is that? What's that? They wanted to make a name for themselves. Rabbeinu Sadia Goyin says, Daniel, Capital Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Nebuchadnezzar, Malki Evitzel and Dizov, Nebuchadnezzar the king made a statue of gold. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a statue made out of four different metals. The head was made of gold, the middle of silver and copper, and the bottom of the statue was made of iron. Daniel interpreted his dream as meaning that while Nebuchadnezzar's dynasty was gold, eventually his dynasty after him would become weaker and weaker until ultimately Klal Yisrael would be victorious. Zakir Bein Asajigoy. Nebuchadnezzar made this statue to cause Klal Yisrael to sin, thereby nullifying Daniel's interpretation and allowing his kingdom to last forever. It says in the Malbim that the statue in the dream had lower values of metal, representing the kingdoms after Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar devised a plan to bring together all of the leaders of all of the nations of the world to bow down to a replica of the statue in the dream. Except that this statue was completely gold. So he had a dream that wasn't completely gold, the statue, but he had a replica made all gold. By having all the leaders come together and bow down to the completely gold statue, which represented his kingdom, which was gold, and accept upon themselves his reign, he believed he would nullify the interpretation of his dream, and his kingdom would last for eternity. This plan of Nebuchadnezzar was the same plan as that of the Dor HaFlogah. They too sought to band together all of the nations of the world in order to make their kingdom last forever, which was against the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Besides you going to explanation, Nebuchadnezzar, that was his intention. His intention was that it should last forever by getting Klal Yisrael to do Averus. The Malbim is saying that they should bow down, they should all come together, and there should be only gold, a gold statue representing his Malchus, to last forever. Didn't work. That was his plan. Didn't work. Shaitan the Goyin, Penophos al Pnei Kol Haaretz. Quote the Pasuk in Bereishis, Pru Urvu Umilu Es Haaretz. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Everyone should not be found in one place. Rather, they should be fill the entire globe of the earth. Pru Urvu Umilu Es Haaretz. Fill the earth. This was the Aveira of the Dor HaFlogah. Their intentions were that everyone should be in one place against the Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says in the Pirkei of the Rebbe Elazar, Nimrod Gibor Koyachaya. Nimrod was a mighty person. The coat, the famous coat, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and his wife, was with Noach in the Teva. When they left the Teva, Chom, who was the son of Noach, took it, and eventually it got passed down to his descendant, Nimrod. When Nimrod wore this coat, all of the animals and birds fell before him. People believed it was because of Nimrod's great strength. They didn't know that it was the coat that was doing it. They was like, oh, look, Nimrod's very powerful. Therefore, they crowned him as their king. Nimrod told his people that they would build a large city and they would not be dispersed across the world. In this city, they will build a large tower, which would reach the Shemayim, the heavens. This is what Nimrod says, for the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only on water. This way, they would have a great name on this land. It says in the Moshe of Zekanim Yivali Taisvis, Vayhi kol aretz safa achas dvar machodim. The whole earth was of one language and of common purpose. The entire world spoke Lashon HaKodesh, Kol Haaretz, the entire world, including the animals and the birds. It says in Bereishis, Vayomer Hanochosh, and the serpent spoke. What did he speak? He spoke Lashon HaKodesh. After the Dor HaFlogah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the world into 70 languages, the animals and birds received their own languages as well. So before the Dor HaFlogah, Zokt Moshe came by Taisus, that the animals, as well as the people, certainly the people are saying, but the animals as well, spoke Lashon HaKodesh. It says in Tiferes Yonason from Yonason Eibershitz, were the Dor HaFlogah such fools? Did they think that through the natural world phenomena they would have been able to build a tower that reached the heavens? I mean, look up. It doesn't make sense. What were they thinking? Venus and Ivishitz explains, they wanted to build a tower high enough to be beyond the atmosphere of the earth, a place where there is no gravity. They didn't think they were going to make it all the way to the top. They just wanted to get out of the earth's hemisphere. They didn't necessarily know exactly where it ended. But they figured once they get out of that atmosphere, they would automatically, when there's no gravity, even that which is very heavy, we know, floats upwards. So they figured that once they would get into a place without gravity, they would take a boat, Dr. Benson Ivershitz, he calls it a boat, and they would be able to reach Shemayim and reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. And that way they'd be safe from the marble. God, he's going to bring a marble upon us. We'll outsmart him. We're going to go up out of the atmosphere, out of the hemisphere where there's no gravity and go straight up to Shemayim. We can't be hurt by a marble. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Taf Kuf Tes, Nechlekul Shalosh Kitois, the Dor HaFlogah all agreed to build a tower. However, they were split into three groups. The first group wanted to reach Shemayim and they wanted to reside there, live thereafter. The second group wanted to worship Avodah Zarah in Shemayim, and the third group wanted to wage war from Shemayim. The group who wanted to reside in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread them throughout the world. The group who wanted to wage war became apes, Ruchais, Shadim, and Lilin. That's what they became. The group who wanted to worship Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused the language of the whole world. It says in the Maral, in his Chuvis, Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, Hayin Vav. Vayezeh Hashem Alekim Esa Adam, Vayezeh Hashem Alekim in Adama Kol Chayes Asada, Pasuk in Bereishis. And Hashem formed man, Vayezeh Hashem Alekim Esa Adam. And Hashem formed out of the ground every animal of the field. Why by the formation of man, the word Vayezeh Hashem is with two yuds? While by the animals, it only has one yud. Dr. Maral. Man is the bearer of a twofold sense of existence. Man was created to live in the mundane physical realm of Olam Hazeh. Yet at the same time, he has to connect himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to attach himself to the eternal spiritual world. Animals exist only in terms of the physical world. Their physical structure, he says, is facing the earth. The physical structure of an animal faces the earth. Their sense of existence is based upon the physical earth, and therefore their body is turned towards it, towards the earth. A spiritual soul, a ruchnius, dwells within man. The lowest part of man is the heel, a place which Chazal tell us is where the Malach HaMavis enters a person. The holiest part of the spiritual soul is the neshama, which in Adam is housed in his brain, up in his head. It is the most connected to Shemayim, and as such, man walks upright with his head closest to Shemayim. So animals, the head's facing down, and man is up, the head facing up. That's what's most important to man. Chassam Sefer says, Al kein kara shema Bavel, ki sham bol Hashem safas kal aretz. That is why it was called Bavel, because it was there that Hashem confused the language of the whole earth. Why was it called Bavel and not Balal? Balal should be the word. The Pasuk says, Kisham Balal, which actually means confused. So why is Bavel? And for the Chassam Sefer, Efsher Bavel is the Rosh Tevis of Boina Bamal Atzmai, building an altar for oneself. This demonstrates that there are Flogger's interest in self-aggrandizement and not Avodas Hashem. They were all out for themselves. Bovel. Boina Bamal Atzmai. She says in the Rekeach and the Pirish on the Siddur, Dara Flogger and the Hefchul Adivim, the Dara Flogger turned into beers. Until the Dara Flogger, there were no beers in the world. It says in the Chassan Sefer, the Haftarah Parshas Noach, Yeshaya, Ani Yaseir Aloy Nechama, Ninoichi Marbis, Bavicha Avanecha, Yisizecha Besvirim, Chobanecha Limudi Hashem, V'Rav Shalim Benoach. O afflicted, storm-tossed, unconsoled one, behold, I shall lay your floor stones upon pearls and make your foundation of sapphires. All your children will be students of Hashem, and abundant will be your children's peace. The psukim are speaking about the heart of Yerushalayim, trying to be consoled by beautiful buildings. The Navi is telling us that there is no nechama for Yerushalayim until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is consoled with Torah and Yerushalayim. Floor stones upon pearls and foundations of sapphire mean nothing. Nothing to the Ribono Shel Olam. It is only through Klal Yisrael being Limudei Hashem, following the ways of Torah, will bring peace. What was the great Aveira of the Dor HaHafluga? And what does it mean they wanted to make a shame for themselves? The Dor HaHafluga seemed to be united. However, they were not truly united with one heart and one mind. They were all arrogant and haughty. They were thinking about themselves. They all had their own reasons for wanting to build a tower to go against the Ratzon Hashem. They believed that with their unity, they would be able to do something in this world which was not Ratzon Hashem. Monkeys and bears seem to be walking upright, though they also use their frontal limbs for the purpose of walking. They seem to be upright. Its spine is curved downwards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing them that if they do not realize the domination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over this world, they are nothing more than animals. Perhaps this is a pshat we're saying in the Rekeach. Why does Rekeach say their flogger turned into bears? Why bears? Because on some level they look like an Adam. Their head looks like it's going upwards. But you should know that their spine is curved downwards. They're an animal. So the Dara flogger were nothing more than animals. They seem to be walking upright, but they had no connection to the world above, to the true world. The Dara Flaga were trying to make a name for themselves, meaning they believed that they were important and independent. They were Bovel. Boina Bomala Atzmoi. They did not need HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were able to do that which is not His will. Their unity, their Achdus, was a false unity. That's not a proper unity. There's a famous story about a college professor. He was a very tough professor, but when it came to exams, he allowed people, if they couldn't make the final, he would tell them, no problem, you can't make the exam, I'll give it to you the next day. And it was well known that he gave the next day the same exact test that he had given the day before. So there were four friends that it was the day of the final, the big exam, and they call up the professor, and they're all on the phone, and they say, Professor, we're on our way to the test. We want to make it to the test, but we got a flat tire. We're on the road. We're stranded. We don't have a spare. We're not going to make it. Can we take the final tomorrow? And the professor said, sure, no problem. So these four students, they spoke to people that were took the test the day when they were supposed to, the final, and they knew it cold. They knew all the answers. No problem. They went, they discussed it, and they knew all the answers. They were good to go. They were all going to get hundreds. And the next day after, they walk into the class, and the college professor puts one in one corner of the room, another in another corner of the room, another in the third corner of the room, and the other one in the fourth corner of the room. And he takes out four blank sheets of paper. And he goes over to each one and puts one on their desk. And they're looking befuddled. This doesn't look like the test. They know all the questions already. These are not the questions. There's nothing on it. And the professor says, there's only one question on today's exam. Which tire was the flat one? Apparently the story ended that they didn't think it through well, and they all failed because they didn't decide on which one they were going to make up a baloney story was a flat tire. But what did we learn from that story? What is the Yisoid? They looked like they were ba'achlas. They called up together. They planned this out. We're going to call up the professor. We're going to tell him, listen, we got a flat tire. We have no choice. We're not going to make it. Okay. Ba'achdus. But they weren't ba'achdus. That was a false unity. Each one were out for themselves, their own purposes. They didn't care about the other one. Each cares for themselves. The only true achdus in this world is following the Torah HaKadosha, which brings shalom to the world. May we be zeichet to have true achdus and follow the Ratzon Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.